It should be okay. It should be recording now, Rob. So I'm just going to say hello and welcome back, everyone. Today, if you're going to talk to Rob, who's unfortunately a former colleague of mine, but I was fortunate enough to have worked with Rob. So we're going to ask. So what triggered this post? What triggered this conversation was a post that Rob, that you had, and we're going to talk about that in detail. But before we get started, Rob, can you maybe give us a quick introduction of who you are?
Yeah, so I'm an attorney. I worked with Agnell at a company called Socure. We had a brief maybe 9 months together, but we worked well. We had a good time and learned a lot of each other. And so been an attorney for 14 years, and now kind of just assessing what I want to do next. Then just always interested in kind of political topics and probably healthcare in general. So that's kind of what spurred this post. But we can get into that in a little bit.
Yes. So started it off perfectly, Rob. But I just want to quickly say that this is all personal opinion. So this is your personal opinion, and this is my personal opinion. So I just want to be very, very clear about that, Rob.
By no means an expert on the topic, but just
yes.
I'm interested in.
So, on that, Rob, of course, I saw your LinkedIn post, and I'll link that in the description as well. But I looked at it and I said, okay, are you okay to answer a few questions about this? So let's directly dive into it, Rob. So, can you talk about the post, maybe a summary of the post, what triggered it? Because clearly something triggered that. And then there were some of the numbers which were fascinating. I discussed some of those numbers with some other friends of mine. I sent your post to a couple of other friends of mine, and they were like, we never thought about healthcare from this perspective. So with that, over to you, Rob, to maybe just enlighten me on this, please.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, layoffs are very much in the forefront of our society right now, especially in the tech industry. A lot of people are getting laid off, and a lot of people do kind of like a layoff post, right? And they sort of thank their former colleagues, which I do as well. I'm very grateful for the opportunity I was given there, and kind of just lay out what's next and what they want to do next. And I like that approach as well. But I wasn't going to do that. But then I kind of thought about the healthcare issue, right? And what position I've been put in because of this, right? And what everyone gets put in because of COBRA coverage, right? You see that bill and what it's going to cost you to get COBRA coverage. It's definitely a little bit of sticker shock to it. And, when you're employed, you don't really see it that way because you think, well, I have good insurance or I have bad insurance, because maybe you pay a little bit out of pocket every month, but your significant other has to pay a lot more out of pocket every month. It's like, I have good insurance, they have bad insurance. And when you see the COBRA bill, you're like, well, it doesn't actually make sense. Everyone has the same overpriced, probably not very good insurance. Everyone just has different employers. My employer, Socure, happened to kick in 95%+ in as much as, so that required me to pay, $20 a month of my health insurance. But the actual premium for the plan was, the exact number is $2,071.34 a month. So that's how much it costs my employer. And after my layoff, it's going to cost me to get healthcare per month. So that's $24,856,000 per year to get health insurance. So when I saw that number, and again, we'll get into some of the more specifics even after this, but when I saw that number, I was like, that's crazy. Just right off the bat, what I have to pay in order to protect my family from really financial calamity and, just to keep them healthy. It's a crazy number. And I didn't really think of it that way. And I probably should have realized this is, a 40-year-old person, like this is what the actual cost is. But, I didn't really think about the whole aspect of your employer subsidizing your healthcare, sort of blinding you to the actual cost of it.
Okay. And, it's just taking me, it's so, you've packed in so much in this, Rob, that I just have to think a little bit to even like digest what you said. But is this system broken, Rob? And what else is broken in the system? And what do you? Okay, let's maybe just talk about how else is it broken and what else is broken.
Yeah, and I mean, just to dive into the numbers a little bit more behind this insurance, and with the caveat that, mm-hmm. of course, every plan is different, and you know, there's obviously exchanges. You can get a better plan, and you know, I've managed to secure healthcare through my wife this in this instance, which is great. And you know, not everyone has that option, obviously. Or you can go in exchange, which is also a great option, but then you're paying still a lot of money out of pocket for a family. You know, what I saw on average, it's like $1,200 a month to insure a family. And that's just out of pocket. You know, that's money that people, that your insurance, your unemployment insurance isn't going to cover that. That's for sure. So again, just getting some numbers. So $24,856, that's your premium. That's your basic healthcare coverage just to get you in the door. But that doesn't even get you a dollar out of pocket from your insurance company. The next number you have to reach is $7,000, which is your deductible. So every dollar up to that $7,000, you have to pay out of pocket again. So that's, again, using the exact numbers, it's $31,856,000 per year out of pocket just to get any contribution from your insurance company. And this isn't even blaming the insurance companies necessarily. They're put in a position where they have to make a profit. And you know, we can talk about why, if that's good or bad, but this is just the business that it is. $31,856 just to get $1 of contribution from your healthcare insurance provider. And that doesn't even count Medicare taxes, which in my case, I paid over $2,500 in Medicare taxes, which is great. Medicare is an amazing system. Everyone loves it. I paid that also out of my paycheck, and my employer paid the exact same amount that it cost to share between your employer and you. So that's basically $35,000, $36,000 a year that me or my employer paid just to provide me healthcare. Now, I mean, people talk about the taxes of universal healthcare, single payer, like what tax rate is that exactly? Without getting into my salary, you can imagine that's a gigantic amount of my salary that gets paid just towards healthcare.
Which otherwise, if it was rightly priced, could have been part of your paycheck instead of going probably as a tax into the system, I guess, Rob. Fair point, Rob, and I agree with everything that you've said here. What do you think is the fix here? What's a short term fix and what's a long term fix in your opinion, Rob?
So yeah, again, probably important to couch, like, not an expert here, and you know, just done some thinking about it over the past, you know, had some time to just think, like, what's something that we could do. You know, one thing that we failed to do is get enough healthy people into the system. So there used to be an individual mandate to get people to buy insurance. I'm not sure that was strong enough anyway to get people to buy and buy into the system. People who are healthy, people who are young, people who aren't going to use a lot of healthcare. You know, that's gone now. So that incentive to get people to buy in is completely gone. So now the people who do buy in are people who use a lot of healthcare, people who are going to have children, people who are sick, you know, people who are, yeah, more people who want to use whatever comes with the system, where the people who are healthy, they go years without going to hospital, without having to see a specialist or something. They're out of the system and they can't pay in some amount to, you know, help lower the cost for everyone. But, you know, if you're not insured, it doesn't mean you're not going to have health instance, right? Like, maybe you have to go to the emergency room, maybe get admitted to a hospital. That's 150, 200 grand. That's someone's going to write off and somebody has to pay for it. You know, maybe as an individual, you can declare bankruptcy and say, hey, I'm not going to pay this bill, but someone's got to pay that eventually.
Yeah.
So getting healthy people in the system, I think, is really important. I think doctors oftentimes have to perform their duties scared in a way because of our litigation, the way that litigation is in our country. You know, in California, we have tort reform. I think that helps a lot. But there's a lot of states out there where it's a wild, wild west. And, you know, you do something wrong, you're going to, as a doctor, going to get hit with a massive lawsuit. And maybe your insurance covers that. But maybe it doesn't, or maybe it goes over the value of your insurance. But even if your insurance pays, that's going to make your premiums go up. That's going to make the cost of healthcare go up. And, you know, that also, I think this, our litigious society makes doctors a little scared to use a risk-based approach, right? To say, well, you know, I see this thing, maybe the best is to take a look and, you know, see how it develops in a couple of months or something. I think they don't want to be on the end of the lawsuit because of that. So they overdiagnose. They say, you go to this specialist, go to this next specialist, go to this other specialist. It's their incentive is to overtreat rather than to use a risk-based approach, which I'm sure many of them want to do. And this is not a criticism of doctors at all. Doctors are, you know, incredible. But you know, if we had some sort of tort reform, it would allow them to do their job better. And I'm talking national tort reform. And then maybe one other thing we could do is focus on, this is all, you know, maybe in the shorter term, right? Focus on preventative medicine. You know, there's a lot of things that insurance would, a lot of preventative things they wouldn't pay for, but there's a lot of things that I would say are defensive medicine, right? That they will pay for once you have the problem, but it would be better to focus on the preventative part of it. And you know, what that looks like, we can debate that, but I don't think there is enough focus on preventative medicine in this country.
Interesting. So, Rob, I live in the US for over a decade. I now live in Canada, and two completely different healthcare systems. And there's a lot of the developed world that has, let's say, a universal healthcare system, right? But I think culturally, the US may not be ready for it. But what's your opinion, your personal opinion on this?
I think you make a good point about the cultural part of it, right? It's very difficult to sort of graft on somebody else's, you know, style of government, their culture on another country, right? So I am sensitive to that. And, you know, I'm sensitive to the way that, you know, we're more of an individualistic society potentially. So, you know, we don't necessarily feel the same way about the collective that a lot of other countries do. That being said, we as Americans pay more, even insured Americans pay more for healthcare than those that live in other developed nations like Canada. And despite paying more, we have worse outcomes. We have lower life expectancy, we have more hospital admissions, we have more suicides, and we have worse mortality rates. And you know, these are countries, you know, I think it's probably safe to say, you know, maybe we aren't culturally as similar to say a continental European or something, but we have similar demographics, say, to Canada, to Australia, you know, to New Zealand, countries that have universal healthcare and they have better health outcomes than we do. And you know, like I was saying, okay, maybe there's gonna be like, in Canada, you pay more in tax for your healthcare. But given what I was talking about with the out-of-pocket cost that I had, what my premium was, what my deductible was, what we pay in Medicare, that rate is substantially higher than what they would pay in the developed world for their universal healthcare. And you know, to me, the other thing is there's certain things that just there shouldn't be a profit motive for. And if you're operating healthcare in a way that requires a profit motive, it's never going to work. You know, I drive on a street outside my house every single day. No one's ever questioned, how do we get an ROI out of that street? Like, that street is just there. It's a public good. We all need it. Universal healthcare is the ideal. You know, I'm not going to sit here and profess to say that it's definitely going to work in this country, but you know, you ask a Canadian or a Danish person or an Australian, like, would you like to adopt an American style healthcare system? They would say, absolutely not. Like, that sounds like just absolute just hell of red tape and expenses and just surprise bills. But you know, you ask most Americans, like, would you like to shift to that system? I think, you know, a good majority of them would say, yes, I think this makes sense. And you know, despite there being trade-offs, which I'm sure there are, you know, you don't face, one thing we got the other day was a bill out of the blue for $2,500 for something that took place back in August of 2021. So a year and a half later, you get a giant bill that you have to pay. You know, that just doesn't happen under a single payer system. And again, there are trade-offs for sure, but I would say that overall, it's something that would make sense and it's something that's worth exploring in this country. But you know, whether we have the political will to do that, I would say it's unlikely at this point.
Yeah, I can tell you for a fact that I definitely don't spend $30,000 over $30,000 on healthcare expenses, Rob. So I think you have a very strong point there, and in a way, even bringing, like you said, the young and healthy into the system is almost like a single payer system, which is kind of one of, you know, everyone's in the system anyway. So it's interesting you say that. So Rob, these are the questions I had for you today. I think you know, I promised to keep it short. I want to say thanks a lot for your time. I think it was, even at work, I've always enjoyed talking to you. And I think even after we're not colleagues anymore, but I still enjoy talking to you, and I'm sure I will continue to enjoy talking to you Rob. So thanks a lot for your time.
Definitely. It was a lot of fun. Thank you.
Thank you, Rob. Yeah. I'll stop recording. Let me see. Stop recording.